Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I did was right, was necessary. It had to be done. Why then should I fear the judgment of others?
It is not our place to judge you, only to follow where you lead us. My lord, I have walked by your side into hell and back. I have been your most loyal soldier.
My brother, what have I done?
What you always do. Guided us. Inspired us. Protected us.
We will require another shovel.
For once, I thought ahead.
Hate shopping for pants.
Hell yeah.
No, I still do not hate shopping for pants. Mm-hmm. But I did get that commercial again.
I thought you were just like...
It's easy to shop online for
pants. I thought you were just providing free advertisement for that company.
Which I would be happy to do. What was it called? Jet Set or something or other?
You would be happy to provide free advertisement?
Grackles. It was called Johnny Grackles.
You want to provide...
Kind of Jack Jenkins.
You want to provide advertisement without receiving any kind of benefit in return?
Yes, I do. Because we are generous. We are generous here. And where is here, Dan? Oh, wait, no.
I got another commercial with like Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, you got a Ryan Reynolds commercial? Yeah. I didn't get a Ryan Reynolds.
I forget what the fuck it's for.
But. I got some commercial for like LinkedIn that was a little crazy. I got some sort of crazy LinkedIn commercial. Anyway, let's just get started.
It's interesting, you guys. I mean, because look, right. If you want to listen to the commercials to support the company, I respect that.
No, I don't want to do that.
I don't do that.
I just thought it was funny because I just think the concept of starting a commercial.
No.
Hate shopping for pants.
No. Hate.
And that
hate
that,
shopping for pants.
Lady does another commercial.
No, but I'm just saying you guys seem to be very knowledgeable of these commercials that play during the podcast.
Because you have another source.
And I listen to it both. It was YouTube and through podcast. And I usually skip past the commercials. And I know that that's
you're a clever fellow.
And I know that that's rude because I should support the companies.
I was
going to
say, is it clever or is it sort of undermining the entire podcast ecosystem?
Okay, no, but that's what I was just saying. I was saying apparently I said one of the first things I said was I understand. Understand and respect if you want to support these ads. I understand and respect
Jesse with an early interruption.
Oh, this is going to be a tough one.
No, this will be a good one.
I understand.
The last thing Jesse does.
I understand.
Burp into the microphone.
I understand and respect if you guys want to support ads. And that's why I was saying it's okay that you listen to the ads. But Patrick, you were immediately like, no, we don't like to do that. We don't like to skip the ads. But like now you're criticizing me saying like, if you skip the ads, you're going to destroy the whole ecosystem. So which is it, Patrick?
I was just sort of playing along with what Jesse was. I was just going to picking up what Jesse
but
was.
But anyways, this is all to confirm that you guys listen to the ads.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And you don't skip past them.
Often I do skip past ads.
I have a simple interface.
Sometimes I'm too lazy to. Also, I'm charmed by these ads because it's got the generic music. It's like, hate buying pants.
You know,
I'm Dr. Jekyll's jingle.
In my car, it's easy to skip past the ads. And if I'm listening on my headset, it's not difficult, but I tend to just listen to them because I'm listening to it in my headphones, I'm generally doing something with my hands, and it's just easier to let the commercial.
What are some
play.
Of the things you might do with your hands while you're listening to the Star Trek Con podcast?
Well, like that's if I'm listening to a podcast outside, I'll usually either be like mowing the lawn or blowing the leaves, in which case, like it's not hard to skip by, but it's sometimes I'm just like in the middle. Sometimes I'm just like really in the depths of doing this thing, and I'm so focused that I was like, I don't. don't want to break that focus.
Well, isn't it? How is it not too loud? While you're blowing.
Well, I have noise canceling headphones, and they work pretty well for droning noises, like engine motors and stuff. Plus, they're both electric. They're both like electric lawnmower and electric leaf blower, which means that it is not as noisy anyway. So yeah, that was exciting conversation we just had. Yeah, pretty good.
All right, welcome.
Very well.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Good evening, my friends.
I find that electric leaf blower is still running.
Oh yeah, tonight we're
is this a new feature?
We're in front of a live audience.
Really makes me nervous when we're in front of.
We have a lot of new features.
There's so many people out there
this week.
Yeah, Dan. I agree with you.
I know, it's like it's like we're really we're not that funny. What are these people?
Oh, I'm sorry. Charmed by
what
that.
The hell is that?
Look, it's fun to change things up a little bit. And so this week we're still in our normal studio, but
I will not nurture those things here.
We've just invited a whole bunch of people.
There's about 100 people out there.
A whole bunch of strangers. Some of them are very, very strange people.
Each one a death sentence for even the strongest of us.
That's just
the horror of it.
That's just the children's section.
The horror of it.
The horror.
Yes. Where were we at? Oh, yeah. So this is the...
I will not allow these mindless beasts to determine the limits of my empire.
This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We do have a lot to talk about, and we do have some new features that we're introducing this week, so we do want to get through things. So I've welcomed you to the podcast, and this is episode number 317 of the podcast, in which we are discussing the Star Trek Con podcast, episode 4, titled... Magical Thinking.
Make way! Make way for Khan! Fire in the hole!
Episode 4, Magical Thinking.
All right, so well, that was
here's what happened.
I know what happened.
I know you know what happened. Some small amount of explanation for the audience. I forgot that part of Dan's pattern. I know Dan's pattern, his regular pattern, when we haven't been doing the Con podcast, is he plays a clip or two from the show, sometimes a juxtaposition of two clips that are either interesting or engaging or hilarious in some fashion.
Or none of the
usually
above.
Quite.
Or maybe just one clip, sometimes a non sequitur clip that Dan doesn't think is a non-sequitur.
Something
clip.
More sinister.
That sort of thing. I keep forgetting that on Star Trek Con, Dan has also tossed in the brilliant not narrator, what do you call it, announcer. You know, every week they have a welcome to Star Trek Con!
Episode 4, Magical Thinking.
Which I love.
Yeah.
Now, I forgot he was going to do that.
It's like you're watching cable TV.
Well, in my head, I was going to play the laugh track.
Well, to your credit, Patrick, usually I wait a little bit between the initial after episode announcement sounds and that one. I usually wait a little bit. So your timing was on.
All right.
I feel bad. I think I'm the one who screwed that
up. The error I made is that I'm not used to this new little piece of software I'm using that has some sound recordings. And I keep double clicking, and you don't need to double click. When you double click, it just plays two slightly off center versions of the same clip. So, hence why the laughter sounded horrifying.
I agree with you. Magical thinking.
All right. So this week,
I remember you calling such things magical thinking.
Magical thinking.
Magical thinking.
Magical thinking.
Magical.
Magical thinking. Butt foist.
That's how I like to go into everything. Butt foist.
Butt foist.
I foist my butt.
You do.
That's not potty talk.
It goes
technically.
Right in foist.
Is talking about your butt potty talk?
You're talking about foist.
Yeah.
No. He's talking about foisting his butt. It was a sort of
I thought he was putting
like,
his butt in foist.
Yeah, but he's not like.
That's true. I was doing both. I was doing both.
Poop isn't involved, so that's not potty talk. Pooping or peeing is not involved, right?
Yeah.
Maybe later.
It
will
be eventually.
Something indelicate.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so we will be talking about magical thinking. A couple of things to take care of right off the top of the
right off the old hoo ha
top of the show
off the old hee ho
top 'em up.
We did get an email from Dan's brother Rob.
Yes,
who said Dan, this is referencing last week because Dan was talking about his both of his brothers using Notepad plus plus.
Notepad plus plus.
Both of your brothers use
I like to take notes in Notepad plus plus.
And Dan feared that he had perhaps doxed his brothers.
Yeah, by revealing
their names and that they like using Notepad plus plus.
Notepad plus plus.
And it turns out that you did.
Rob says Dan doxed me already, but yes, I have used Notepad plus plus extensively. Thanks, Dan, for the unwanted publicity. No Christmas present for you.
Aww.
So something to not look forward to.
That's what you get, dude.
This holiday season.
You get a bag of switches.
For Dan. Do you mean switches like a stick? Like my grandmother used to threaten to hit
you
me
see,
with?
I used to think it was like a bag of like light switches, like that you would, you know, put inside a bag and hit people with. No, like that you could just get to play with like the light switches.
So when you
thought it was a good thing.
So yeah. My grandmother,
I was like, why is that a bad thing?
Wow.
Or a lump of coal. It's like, I don't get that. But yeah. Like the light switches thing sounds cool.
Yeah, because my grandmother would be like, don't make me go out back and get a switch. She never did. She meant it comically. But...
Somebody had to further explain to me that like a switch is an old fashioned way to beat your ass.
Yeah.
A whippy little stick, a little sapling.
A little whipping stick.
I guess the true, like, you know, I'm always like, Notepad plus plus.
Yeah.
But like, really, you know, the nerdier one to use would be like Vim on Linux or something.
For
like
sure.
That.
Vim on Linux.
Then I don't use Vim. But it's not as fun to say Vim on Linux. It's fun to say Linux box.
Linux
box. Yeah. But Notepad plus plus.
I just made a Linux box.
Yeah.
My roommate made a Linux box.
I put a bare metal virtual machine on top of my Linux virtual machine in my Windows environment.
Okay.
Some people thought it was a waste of time.
So, some people think this podcast is a waste of time.
And you said it best.
And we're going to defend. Yes. We're going to defend against that by moving right along home.
Yeah. We should get on
to a voicemail. We have a couple of voicemails. The first
voicemail. You stole my heart.
The first voicemail is from Isaac, our old friend Isaac, host of the Trek 365 podcast.
Is this in response to something?
And I think it's in response to something you said last week.
Yes.
I'll leave it to Isaac to fill you in.
Evidence! Hello, Wingus, Dingus, and Fingus.
Hi.
It is Isaac, your favorite jam eater, or as Jesse says... pie hole, coming to you direct from Tasmania, Australia. Guys, you asked me to send something in, and I was going to anyway, because Patrick was like, I've got this great sausage joke, and then he doesn't tell it.
I know.
As someone that both has a sausage and likes jokes, I'm like, well, where's the payoff? Where's the sausage joke? Do your worst.
Yeah.
If you want more jokes like that, Trek 365 podcast is available where you're listening to this. Dan asked eloquently if Australians like to cut loose last week. And yes, like on behalf of everyone here, and I asked everyone, so? I asked
the representative
Tomo across the street and Dave-o next door. Yeah, we do, mate.
Tomo.
Thank you. I thought that was a good question. I did think of something else you might find interesting, though, because you were talking about how one show has like a world narration and you guys have a different narrator for your American version.
Yeah.
When I'm watching American sports, I like to watch NBA. I like watching a bit of NFL. Well, like my last name's Brown, so I've got to keep an eye on Cleveland because I don't just lend my name to any franchise. Apparently, I lend it to the worst, like that sausage joke, worst franchise.
Hey, worst.
When you guys cut to your ads, we do too. But we've got laws that we're not allowed to have too many ads within an hour. So sometimes while you guys are enjoying your ads, we actually just go back to the stadium where nothing's happening at that time and just have a little bit of quiet time. And then we don't know what to do with our money because there's no ads telling us what to do. And because it's quiet, we get bored and we drift off. We kind of like listening to me talking to you guys.
That's when you cut loose.
I think they did.
Anyway, stay tuned after the break. We've got a good fun 'em up. And also stay tuned. There's going to be a couple of duty or no duties coming up too, guys. So that's something to look forward to later in the show. Take care, guys, and if I don't send you another voicemail before Christmas, yep, okay, bye.
Thanks, Agamus.
Well, yeah, we learned from Isaac that in response to Dan's question, Australians do indeed like to cut loose? Is that what it
was? Yeah,
according
cut
to
loose.
Tomo and Devo.
According to Tomo and Devo. It just made me think of that video going on Smoko.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The chats.
Yeah.
With their famous song, Smoko. I'm on Smoko.
So leave
which
me
means
alone.
Which means I'm on break smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. And recommend everyone go to YouTube and look up the chats, Smoko.
Yeah.
Spelt like it sounds.
Yep.
You'll enjoy it.
SMOECOEHW.
Well done, Dan.
Yes.
Now, since Isaac brought it up, it's a good opportunity to ask you.
I have two new duty or no duties.
Okay. You have two duty or no duties. And so he was speaking the truth.
He's spot on. They call him spot on Isaac. They do.
They
always do.
Are there. So two duty or no duty. So audience, that's something to look forward to later in the show. As Isaac mentioned, are there any that's in orders?
I didn't even check, but
probably
like,
not less so because this is not a Starfleet situation.
Yeah. I think
we're not in a Starfleet situation.
I think I remember checking for the first couple and like just kind of, like giving up. Yeah, no, there's
I
not,
think you'd
there's
notice.
There's like a Starfleet deserter, but that's not.
They don't even use the word order.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any fast food establishments.
Yeah.
Or mail order stuff. That's not as funny because the mail order is in the orders in the. God damn it, Patrick. I tried to rescue that, but I couldn't. That was a failed joke.
The horror of it.
The fast food restaurant was good, but I felt it was too constrictive because you can order things from so many places. What about a regular restaurant? And I was thinking Sears in my head, like a Sears mail order catalog. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll do better.
Are you not happy about this?
I'll do better next week, I promise. But we got to focus on this week.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is not our place to judge you.
Thank you, Isaac, for setting us straight on that. And oh, by the way, that fact about the commercial business, I've noticed that before. I think in Europe or a few places, I've been watching some sports or some other things, and when it goes to commercial break, it'll either show a blank screen or some text, or sometimes it's just a feed of just people milling about.
Well, do you think the announcers have to have like something to talk about during that time?
The announcers are either not there or their mics aren't on, so you might see them talking.
Not as a rule, no.
Like kissing each other or gently warming each other's nipples, not in an erotic way.
Warming your nipples.
When it's cold outside, you don't want to let your nipples get frostbite.
It's not as great as it sounds.
Usually they die
in the process.
Absolutely.
You don't want your nipples to die.
Ideally not.
Kill their lava.
All right, so we got a couple of duty or no duties. No that's in orders from Dan this week. Do we have any lists? Or things that could be interpreted as a list?
Does Dan have any lists?
I mean, just like the usual that I've been doing for Con, where we go through the parts.
March through the
but
parts.
But we don't have to do that. Like, we can change it up. Like,
I kind of enjoy that.
There's no rule that says we have to.
Have to do that.
No, okay. You're a list
but
man.
But I do enjoy it, because it's a good thing to react to. It's a good structure to bounce off.
There we go.
It's sort of evolved into that, where you've been motivated for one reason or another to break down the episode.
Yeah, I don't know why that sort of happened, but it just kind of happened.
It's something
that
you're enjoying. It's bringing you some sort of pleasure. Perhaps it's a way for you to express some measure of control over a chaotic world.
Perhaps.
Would be my guess.
I find that hopeful.
Something those lines would be my guess if I were to.
So I'm basically like a conspiracy theorist,
no,
right?
No.
Because that's their deal, right?
No. I think it's the same flavor, but I don't think it's I think yours is not a maladaptive version. I think yours is a socio- A positive, I don't know what the term would be, but it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. I think we all do this in one fashion or another. But that's
do not tell me what I can and cannot do.
Don't ever tell me what I can't do, ever!
Merely a guess.
Yeah, I figured they would like that.
That was timed well.
Well, and I double-clicked it again, too, because I'm a fucking jackass.
There's so many people.
You couldn't really tell.
I could tell.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
I could tell that they're around.
Patrick, don't be so hard on yourself.
I try not to.
Your secret is safe with me.
But not with everybody else.
Oh.
Okay.
And I'm not getting any Christmas gifts because I doxed my older brother.
But I did want to mention that we do have a new feature.
You have no brother.
We have a new feature.
I have no Christmas gifts. What if he just sent me coal instead? That would be fucked up if he just sent me coal.
Instead of switches?
Instead of
a gift. And it can be useful.
It can be, but it's the symbolism of it, you know.
It's just a big bag of shit.
It's a bag of fuck you is what it is.
Dried up turds.
It's just a
box of dried up turds.
He's going to send me a bag of fuck you.
Yeah, same difference.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I think he was meant it more in jest. I think
No, it's true. It's happening.
I think you're still going to get a gift, dude.
You're going to get a gift from Rob.
No, I don't care.
It's just not going to be that great.
It's just not going to be that great.
Yeah, it will be like slight. You will notice this.
It'll be a bottle. It'll be like a jar of French's mustard, which I like French's mustard just fine. But, you know, for Christmas, you can do a little better than that. Unless it's a stocking stuffer. That's a good stocking stuffer. A little thing of French's mustard.
Sure.
Not for Jesse, though. Jesse's like rubbing his eyes because the thought of mustard like
Jesse does not do condiments.
Gives him the heebie-jeebies.
Jesse's favorite condiment is lukewarm water. He just dribbles it all over his steak.
It's a little drizzle.
Okay.
Heebie-jeebies.
But yes, we
Willies.
We are
heebie-jeebies.
We're introducing what I'm hoping. I'm going to try it out for a little bit. We're hoping it'll be a new permanent weekly feature. Mm-hmm. I'll explain it more later. I think we'll do it in the third break. But the weekly feature is going to be called the letters are WTHIHTB.
Oh my god,
that's what it WTHIHTB. I'll explain what that means.
You tell me this now.
It's like a
later on,
like a radio station from some fucked up place.
I think everyone's going to have fun and enjoy that. But in the meantime, we do need to enjoy another voicemail.
Yeah.
Are you certain about this, my lord?
Yes, I am. This voicemail.
He only answered that because I referred to him as my lord. He's like, well, yes, my subject, Dan. Sorry, you did nothing wrong there, Patrick. That was all me. I set you up.
The timing.
I instigated that one.
The timing was...
Because
I wasn't really paying attention. I was just trying to barrel through.
Right, sorry. So
caught me.
That was rude of me.
The audience liked that one.
I fear he misunderstood. I grieve with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I agree with you.
We have to continue.
I like the clapping.
I do love getting the rare, really, truly sincere chortle out of Dan. It's such a nice,
the evolution into the, from laughing to clapping.
That was fun. All right, so we'll play WTHIHTB later.
WTHIHTB.
But no, you'll get it eventually. But in the meantime, we will play a voicemail from Jesse. Not this Jesse.
No.
Not that Jesse. This is Jesse.
This is that Jesse.
What, Jesse from Crusher Convo.
Oh, word.
There's Jesse from Crusher Convo. There's Jesse from It's Got Star Trek. And then there's Jesse from the Open Pike Night
podcast.
That's
the other guy.
And there's Jesse Consopoulos.
That's a different... Well, that's a fictional Jesse. Let's keep it real, Dan. Here's our voicemail.
Quite literally.
Here's our voicemail from Jesse.
Hello to the crew of It's Got Star Trek. It's the biggest Igster here, Jesse, from Open Pike Night.
Igster.
And I have to call in because on your last episode, you guys were talking about dinosaurs. Very cool. But Dan said Ankylosaurus.
Oh, no. He's going to get me on that.
Instead of Ankylosaurus.
Okay.
What are you doing, Dan? Do you even know your dinosaurs? Come on, man.
What are you from, like the 80s?
Anyway, that's all. I'm loving your con coverage, guys. Keep it up.
Do I even dinosaur? I guess not. You know,
we need to thank Sagamus.
Thanks, Sagamus.
Thank you.
Process. Thanks, Sagamus.
Dan was so like engaged with that. He was like thinking about it. I was like, I gotta get a fucking response.
I was so flabbergasted by my mistake that I got knocked out of my pattern.
Yeah. The Ankylosaurus got killed in a nuclear war.
You know, I remember last week saying that, and I remember saying like, wait, I remember this is pronounced differently than.
Was that one of those driving home things where you're like,
no, I was like, shit. Shit! No, I think
Danny.
It's like a waking up in the morning thing.
He's like, "Can you send me a recording?"
No, I remember last week as I was saying it. I remember like, wait a second, this is not pronounced how you think it's pronounced. Are you pronouncing it the way you think it's pronounced, or you're pronouncing it correctly? You know, you do that thing where it's like you initially want to pronounce something one way, so you try to, and you traditionally have been mispronouncing it. So what you do is you're like, oh, this is how I normally pronounce it, so I'm not going to pronounce it how I normally do. I'm going to pronounce it the other way. This is really hard to explain.
Yeah, I get you.
You know what I'm saying? I spend years saying Ankylosaurus, and then one day I learn it's an Ankylosaurus. Right? And then I'm like, okay, next time I say Ankylosaurus, remember, don't go with your first instinct because your first instinct is always wrong. And I have that in my head. So when it comes time to say it, I subconsciously naturally go with my second proper instinct, but I'm still in the mode where I think I'm going with the incorrect instinct. So what I do is I switch to the other one because I think the other one must be correct. But since I subconsciously went to the second instinct like I was supposed to, I really just shot myself back to the first instinct, which was incorrect.
I was going to confirm.
Does that make any sense?
That he said he shat himself, because I like that.
See, no, that didn't make any sense. You
no,
guys
it did make sense. No, actually, Dan,
it did make sense.
You've provided a very relatable anecdote, because I think it's the type of thing that most people have thought of, but haven't dared vocalize.
Right.
Yes, you're a brave fellow.
It's like, oh wait, you always say this wrong, but like, because I'd thought about it so much, I actually said it right that time, so I said it the other way, thinking that that would be right, but it was still the wrong way.
Absolutely.
It's like when you second-guess yourself a second time or something. Yeah. Anyways, no, he's right. It is ankylosaur. I mean, of course he's right, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's fucked up of me. I shouldn't have done that.
Now, can you just for the record, what's the proper way to say it?
Ankylosaurus.
Ankylosaurus?
Ankylosaurus? I don't know. I'm staying neutral on this.
I remember as a kid, I always thought it was ankylosaurus.
I like
that's
dinosaurs.
What kids always said, ankylosaurus. Yeah. But they also said like nuclear war.
Nuclear. So wait,
Bush.
So Jesse, not you, Jesse, but you, Jesse.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Is the Brontosaurus officially not a real dinosaur? Because I think
they just changed the name.
There's a complicated history there. Yeah, and it's interesting.
Because it was real for a while, and then they decided it was not real, but is it real again? Is it like the whole Pluto was a planet for a while, and then
it was like a bunch of podcasts about
Pluto's
that?
Pluto's a fucking planet.
Well, it wasn't, then it was.
I don't want to spoil the Brontosaur, Apatosaur business. Go check out some podcasts.
You just spoiled it.
Podcastosaurus.
So basically, what you're saying is the Brontosaur was just misshapen Apatosaur. They put together an apatosaur incorrectly and called it a brontosaurus.
I recall that it's even more complicated than that.
But reason I gather that is because you said brontosaurus, apatosaurus story. So I figured, they must have taken a apatosaur and thought it was a brontosaurus.
But though you may have gathered that, I fear that
is that
you
like
may,
a duckbill apatosaurus?
I don't want to be involved in encouraging a misgathering, because I just want to make it clear that I do not possess in my memory. That information has gone through my brain, but it has not all stayed in my brain.
But a diplodocus.
So any mistake I make or purposeful thing, anything I'm doing is not going to provide you enough information to know.
Word. I don't get it.
But
I get it 100%.
I
don't get it.
But a diplodocus is legit. We know
I'm
this.
Down. Yeah, everyone's down with the diplodocus.
Diplodocus and motherfucking tyrannosaurus.
Everyone's down with those. But
what if there was a tarantulasaurus?
But oh my god.
Maybe but, there was, dude. Maybe but, there was.
Before we get into all that, I did want to know that while everyone may be down with the diplodocus, not everyone is down with this particular podcast.
Wait.
Not talking about the It's Got Star Trek podcast. I'm talking about the Star Trek Con podcast. And I just wanted to read a brief YouTube comment.
Really? Okay.
That has an opinion, because we've been very high on the Con podcast, but I do want to make sure that we do account for separate opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you want to say something, Dan? Or now that you know that you might be constraining the voice of a listener, that you want to hear what he has to say?
Well,
I don't know if it's a he. I'm just guessing it's a he.
There's Captain's prerogative.
There's clues in the business.
Just go ahead, go forth with the forth with the reading.
I'll read this real quick. This is from on YouTube, because by the way, go subscribe to us on YouTube. Even if you don't listen to us there, it's helpful if you subscribe.
Is it a standard YouTube quality comment, or is it better than that?
No, it's a good one, it's from a person who frequently comments on our YouTube videos and provides awesome insights. It's from, I mean, I'm also a big fan of his. Username.
Did it explode?
No, his username is Harry Pothead 42024.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you understand?
And Harry Pothead says, I really like the format. I appreciate the performances. I wish they did something else. If you care about this microcosm, it makes sense. I am just way bored with these family line stories. It's a quasi-royalty that I could never understand the affinity for. In my opinion, it shrinks the Star Trek universe. This does everything people usually call bad fan fiction. I would love for them to use this format to expand the universe, do an anthology type show. tell some stories that are from the Romulan perspective or show what exploration means in the time of the Picard series. This is like the Neil Breen vanity crap in my eyes. It just happens to be well made technically. So that's what Harry Pothead for 2024 said on YouTube.
So they're saying that instead of like a con podcast, they would rather have an anthology podcast.
Something
Where each episode is a different thing.
Or just do this kind of thing with this type level of production.
They're just bored with the con shit.
But yeah, and I get
that. That's what I just said. Instead of doing a con podcast, they do a podcast like this, but instead of con, each episode is a different thing.
No. I think we are saying different things. I'm saying not every episode would be a different story. I think he's suggesting like you could do anthology, like you could do a whole bunch of different things. Although maybe
isn't that the same thing?
Not each episode. You're talking about like there's 9 episodes of Khan is one story. I'm saying it could be an anthology could be 9 episodes of some other story, 9 episodes of some other story.
Yeah, but he's suggesting this
some kind of Worf shit.
But he's suggesting this in place of the Khan podcast. So if that was the case, what you're saying, then Khan would just be one entry in this anthology.
It could be. I get what you're saying. Like a 40-minute
episode. Yes, a good
baser. Or maybe instead of 10 con podcasts, they could have like three con podcasts and 3 Romulan podcasts and 3 that.
I'm only laughing because while I'm super invested in this point we're discussing, I just realized
it's time to take a break.
It's no. Not only do we need to take a break, this is not actually the point that this most important to discuss which is more the concept of whether or not it's worth telling this story.
Right.
Now, we do need to go to break. I understand your viewpoint, Harry Pothead.
Yeah.
And it's something I've said a lot about, particularly about the Star Wars universe. And I say like lots of people. That's like a pretty common thing that Star Wars gets a little boring after it's all Skywalker.
It's our world, right? Not theirs.
So I appreciate the point. However, not only am I enjoying the story, I do think when it works is when it's like you're learning something that's kind of interesting. They don't need to fill in every corner of the Star Trek universe with an audio podcast. I think this is kind of like good use of
that. Well, they're kind of expanding on the whole Woim monster thing. Yeah. Because there was no history behind that. It was just kind of like it was kind of a device in the movie.
It was a device in the movie.
It was a device in the movie. And they're giving it a whole, they're giving it a whole life in history. Now, sometimes that can come off as cheesy, like when Star Wars tries to connect too many things, like Anakin made C-3PO and all that stuff.
Anakin made C-3PO.
But that doesn't feel like what's happening here.
I agree. And I think that where we can all agree is that they should be doing more of this, and they can use this as a way to tell those stories. Like
why
you said,
aren't they doing more of this?
Romulan perspective.
He's really trying to get me to do the voice.
Klingon perspective, etc. And so I hope this is successful enough to warrant doing that type of stuff. And that can be the function of using a character that has a built-in audience because people are interested in hearing this kind of thing. So thank you for making that comment. And I just wanted to get that point out there. Now.
Thanks, Agamus.
We've been running long 2 weeks in a row. I'm trying not to do that this week. Yeah. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we've got all sorts of stuff. We've got duties or no duties. We've got the inaugural WTHHIHTB.
WTHTTIBC.
All sorts of other stuff.
It's a fucked up radio station.
Will happen when we return. We will be right back.
That it will be done. That it will be done.
Wait, what? What's happening?
Thank you.
Goodness.
That was silly.
So are you saying that you do know that the story of the Brontosaurus, or are you saying you know that there is a story of the Brontosaurus?
I know that there is a story.
Do you know if the Brontosaurus is real or not?
I can't remember how it ended up.
Oh, that's what it is.
Is because it kept going back and forth. And we're back.
Hello, MacGyvers.
Hello, Newman.
Newman.
Hello, Newman.
MacGyvers.
All right. So we get.
Hello, MacGyvers.
We get now. Now that we've entered the second break,
giving ins.
Calm things down a bit. We've gotten through.
He stole my heart.
Gotten through all the front matter of the show.
Giving it ups.
Better.
And we've touched on a few things, but now we can really dig.
Touch.
dig deep.
The horror of it.
Deep.
So we open up the episode And this is right after, presumably not long after, the end of the last episode, in which Khan just sort of broke Richter's neck all creepily, and the sound effect was horrifying.
And it turns out that they did perform an autopsy, which makes sense that they did. It was just so confusing to me in the last episode because, and I brought this up last episode because Ursula was like, you know, we got to perform an autopsy, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, no, this is my burden to bear. And it's like... And what he meant was, it's my burden to kill the guy, but he didn't. He seemed to indicate that he wasn't into like the autopsy thing. In my listen, not to other people, I guess.
I'm sure
but,
he
but,
was.
But they did perform the autopsy, and I thought like he wasn't into performing the autopsy because he wanted to preserve the dead body. Because remember when. In last episode, not this one, last episode, because I brought this up too. When
we're talking about the worst, do your worst.
When do your worst. When Khan told Ivan to stay back and bring Joaquin's body back so while he looked for Richter, and it's like he wanted Ivan to like save Joaquin's body. So I was like, oh, he's got this thing where he wants to like preserve the dead bodies because he's trying to like do this civilized thing. But then in this episode, he's all like talking about like, once the body's dead, it's meaningless and it's stupid, you know? But
right,
that's
just a show.
And I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but it just, these all things all kind of linked together and started with what we were saying just then. But then there's that scene, and we can talk about this more later, where where Marla's like, you know, we should like have Marla ceremonies for the dead and stuff. And he's like, no, they're just shells and they're stupid. Yeah. You know, what she was saying makes sense. It's like, yes, you should have ceremonies, which helps people grieve. But like, I thought like he was doing this thing where he was preserving the dead bodies out of some kind of like spiritual ritual. What Marla's talking about is purely practical.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a spiritual thing. It's like approach your grief.
It's a normal human.
Yeah. It's like it's deal with your thing. Deal with your grief. Whereas when he was talking about like save Joaquin's body and shit, like why are you preserving this body if you don't care about bodies? Because that seems like a spiritual thing where it's like we have to preserve the sanctity of this body. But like then in this episode, it seems like he does a 180 and says like, well, bodies are stupid.
Khan
does
a lot of 180s.
Yeah.
He does a lot of 180s. In this episode, it starts out with him expressing guilt for what he had to do to Richter. And it was interesting, him talking with Ivan, right? Because there's a few things going on with the Ivan stuff. First of all, like, and I think, Dan, you mentioned this either last week or somewhere when we were discussing this about Khan being all secretive is going to backfire on him because he's got all these things where it's like, only I can know and only I can bear the burden. First of all, as he finds out, bullshit, like everyone finds out about this. Everyone finds out about this shit. And then secondly, it's like, how is that being a good leader? Oh, Mr. Sneezy over here.
Sneezel machine over here. Mr. Sneezel got a case of the sneezes.
Just like, they're talking too serious.
Hachoo! Hachoo!
I was really trying to hold it back, and I thought it was going to work, and then it was like, all of a sudden, I was like, no way, dude. You have to start.
I have a project for you. Next time you sneeze, instead of saying hachoo, say Pikachu.
All right, man.
Yeah, it's much cuter.
It is much cuter. Patrick, to what you said about Khan at the beginning, the quote was, he says, I... Jesse's just finishing up the final steps here of the sneezing process. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Sorry.
No, it's your body, man. Be don't be ashamed of your body.
It's my nose, baby.
Don't be ashamed of your body. Celebrate your body.
The nose.
I will celebrate your body with you.
Celebrate my nose.
Later tonight, you can come to my place and we can celebrate your body together.
Right. All right, let's touch
my nose.
Enough of this nonsense. What's your point, Dan?
Oh yeah, Patrick's in a hurry today. Khan says, it's just funny, it's like Patrick's arbitrarily
so
rushing.
It says,
it's not arbitrary, it's just like you're talking about fucking like nonsense.
We were talking about nonsense.
I was so interested, you were in the middle of it, like halfway through a sentence, and I was like, this is so interesting, and then just done. Come on, I want to hear what the end of the sentence.
I don't know, it's just,
Mr. Sneezy.
This is not the first time we've done a digression, so I just thought it was kind of arbitrary that you decided this digression was unacceptable, but that's fine,
decided. No, that's fine,
I'm just playing that card.
Okay, Khan says, to what you said, Patrick, about like, Khan saying can't lie to the people. The quote was, Khan says, I have never lied to my people, but I cannot let them see the bodies of Richter and Sylvana. The horror of it will implant itself in their minds and grow like the parasite that drove him to murder Sylvana in madness. I told him to fight it. I fear he misunderstood. In the end, I alone must carry this truth. So yes, he's in denial. And the episode begins with him in denial about letting people face these things because he's worried that it's going to destroy them just like this bug. Like, he's worried that facing grief them facing your problems is going to be their undoing, when the opposite is true, which is what Marla points out. And at the end of the episode, he actually does a proper 180.
And agrees with
it. It's a good 180, because like Marla convinces him, and he like...
And then they get married.
And he focuses in the grief head on, and he's like, let's grieve together. And that is how you deal with shit, because like, if you pretend that problems don't exist, you never confront them, you never process them, they sit and they fester and they rot and they get worse.
And then they destroy you.
And that's, and that's what unravels you, not like addressing them and admitting that they're there. It's like, they are there. Like, you can't pretend they're not. You can just like not think about it, and that's bad for you. Yeah. And also, near the end of the episode, that's when, like, this episode ended on a high note. So it seems like when Marla convinced them of this thing, that's when things started to get better. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm being invited to shit now. People seem to be cool. We're in a good place.
We're shacking up.
Now, it seems like there's probably going to be some bad times ahead.
One presumes.
Yeah, one presumes. Now, what I'm not sure, though, is I'm not sure if this show is going to end with them, like, having a wonderful society that's destroyed by this thing, or if their society's going to fall. Initially, I was like, their society's going to fall apart from bullshit, and Ivan's going to fuck them up, and it's going to be terrible. But now I'm not so sure.
That's interesting.
If it might still happen that way, but like maybe they totally get their shit together and like the exploding thing like really ruins it, and it's not them that destroy themselves, or maybe it is. But like at this point, I don't know which way it's going to go.
I really just like the fact that Khan had to. Okay, let me back up. I was confused, maybe not confused is the right way. I was interested in understanding why Khan wants to hide the fact that Richter got infected with something, went crazy, and beat up Sylvana, because, like you said, like you said, Dan, like that should happen, and like that you're in reality, you are leading these people to deal with this planet. They should know that that's the kind of thing that can happen.
Yeah,
something can. We don't. And the problem is Khan wants to have control over everything. He wants to know. I guess. I'm guessing it's some of this control. Stuff. But he just does this all the time, where he keeps things to himself, and uses like, I'm protecting my people, as a rationalization, when actually I think it's more of an insecurity or something. I don't know. That's maybe oversimplified.
And not only is it like you have to confront and manage and process these emotions, but also the practical thing is eventually someone's going to figure something out.
Well, that too.
And then it'll be even worse, because they're like, you've been fucking with us this whole time. You know,
it's just like that classic thing is like, you know, like this is too big for you to hide.
Yeah, right.
This is some crazy shit went down.
But it goes hand in hand with him wanting to control the planet and being like, this is our world, not their world. He doesn't treat the planet as in like, we're going to work with this planet. He's like, we're going to fuck this planet up.
When you said that made me think of the Goonies.
He's from the 90s, dude.
The Goonies. You know, this is when they're in the well, and he's like, this is our time, or down here.
That's been a Patrick digression.
I don't remember.
This was my wish, and it didn't come true, so I'm taking it back.
Kids these days are all like, I'm gooning. That means they're masturbating.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that crazy?
As do I.
I don't know if that has anything to do with the Goonies.
No.
But that's the whole thing now. Oh, I'm gooning.
There was nobody in the Goonies that you want to masturbate to.
Okay.
well.
Anyway, so I was saying, so he wants to control the planet. He wants to control everything to sort of fit his. He doesn't want to work. Yeah. He doesn't want to come to the middle on. He doesn't want to meet in the middle on things. He doesn't want to like work with the planet. He wants to mold the planet to his liking. He wants to like control these events. He wants to control emotions, and you can't control emotions. You can manage emotions,
which you've explained many times before on the podcast.
Yes,
and last week you talked about him fighting the planet and how ridiculous of an idea that is. Yeah. Already lost.
Yeah,
like if you go to war with the planet, you've lost.
Yeah, because you're not gonna. Yeah, you don't fight a planet. You work with it. The planet's gonna do its planet thing. Win. It doesn't give a shit about you. Going to war with it implies that the planet has some kind of desire to do something,
or
some
sort of personification of the planet, like Captain Planet, which was a personification that like Gaia sent out as some sort of battle monster.
But like, to sound really cheesy, I mean, like emotions and things like that, you can't control them. It's like kind of like it's like controlling a wave in the ocean. It's like.
Right.
It's like surfing or something. It's like you can't control that shit, but you can manage it and work with it to like, and you can work with it for the most desirable outcome that's possible given the scenario, but you can't control it, you know?
Well, he's got a really high opinion of himself. And he's got these people following him. And it's interesting how he's poo-pooing all these rituals as magical thinking when they're looking to this guy like he's some kind of like prophet.
Yeah.
And that's magical thinking, isn't it?
It is.
Isn't that magical thinking?
Well, and then a little bit. Well, there's that line in the middle. He's talking to Marla and he's like,
"But I am Khan."
But I am Khan. How is that not fucking magical?
He seems legitimately confused as to her perspective.
I mean, like, how full of yourself do you have to be
exactly
to like say some shit like that?
Well, it also illustrates that there's a difference.
No magic. I am magic.
There is a difference between a leader who takes advantage of having followers who think of him or think of them like that, but at the same time understands that they are in fact a human who's manipulating people for whatever end, even if they think they're doing it for good. Khan, clearly, in most of his characterizations that we've seen, is presented as somebody who believes his own stuff.
Right.
He is willing to lie to people in order to get his way, but he believes his own stuff.
Sure. So the part that, but I am Khan, he goes, it's because when Marla, like, he finds out that Marla went to get the Seti Eel shit, and he's like, he says to her, he goes, you must know I would never have approved of you putting yourself at risk like that. Why? And then she says, why do you think I didn't bother asking? And then he goes, is that how it is to be between us? You do as you please, whether I will it or no. And then she goes, just as you do. And he's like, but I'm Khan. And it's just like, wow.
She's like, but I'm Marla.
Yeah, she's like, but I'm Marla. Yeah, it's
which is
like,
badass.
That's like the best answer you could really give someone.
It was a badass answer.
Yeah. Totally.
Right. So,
I am Marla.
But at
Marla
the same,
McGibb.
At the same time, it is brilliant how they've written this where they are injecting Khan with a lot of these insecurities that are revealed in his actions and what he talks about, even if he himself is not necessarily aware of them, like when he's talking with Ivan at the beginning of the episode and kind of he's defending his position to Ivan, even though Ivan the whole time is like, dude, you don't got to defend your position. Like you're like the dude. I really don't care. But Khan is still like, no. I had every right to do that. I had to do this. And you could tell he's kind of like saying it out loud to try to not to convince Ivan, but to convince himself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting thing that they did. The
totally.
Other thing, I don't know if you caught this. I'm so excited. Kirsten Beyer. Kirsten Beyer and David Mack, who wrote all of this from the story by Nicholas Meyer, they've done a really good job of inserting these fun little tidbits here and there. Last week, I talked about, you know, they're purposefully mirroring Kirk and Khan together. And last week, I talked about how they had described Khan as like not believing in a no-win scenario, essentially, right? Because Ursula and other people were...
The Kobayashi Maru.
Ursula and others were talking about how Khan just moves the goalposts. He doesn't know how to lose. He doesn't even understand the concept. And I,
as do I.
And the
I thought,
concept.
I thought that's a really cool way to mirror Kirk's whole no-win scenario Kobayashi Maru thing.
Kobayashi Maru.
In this is the Kobayashi Maru. We have drifted into Klingon space. I forget the rest.
I don't understand what you're afraid of, Ursula.
Lots of bleeps, the sweeps, and the creeps. So that was last week. Very, very nicely done there. And here, they do something even more overtly. And I wasn't sure if either of you caught it, because I didn't catch it the first time through, but I caught it the second time through. Do you have any guesses as to what I'm referring to? Something there's a line of dialogue that directly mirrors another line of dialogue between a couple of characters.
Well, I mean, the way you present it is like, in this episode, there's a line of dialogue that mirrors another line of dialogue somewhere else.
How about this? How about this? How about I play it for you?
Okay.
From the Khan podcast.
Play it, don't say it.
All right.
My brother. What have I done?
What you always do. Guided us. Inspired us. Protected us.
We will require another shuffle.
Is this some kind of Kirk Spock thing or something?
Is it Kirk something?
Is it Kirk?
It's a Kirk line.
So now there's a Kirk bit.
Yeah. I'm just going to play it and tell me what you think.
My God, Bones. What have I done?
What have I done?
What you had to do.
Ah, Bones.
What you always do.
Ah.
Turn death into a fighting chance to live.
Word.
One of my favorite parts of Star Trek 3, after Kirk blows up the Enterprise, killing most of the Klingons aboard.
Jesse did the thing. Yeah. Did you hear? He just went blah 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 blows.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I generally don't. I tune it out. It's like my kids. You know. You just sort of eventually, your brain just creates a little algorithm, doesn't notice. I know you still notice it. Trust us, we all know you still notice it sometimes. I only hear it when I'm editing the podcast. I'm like, oh, Jesse was doing all this stuff. Gibbling boobles and bobbles. But yeah, so I'll play the con line again.
That is pretty close.
Right?
My brother.
My friend.
What have I done?
My God, Bones. What have I done?
What you always do.
What you always do.
Guided us. Inspired us. Protected us. We will require another shovel.
The shovel bit's not relevant, but...
Where would I stay?
Shuffle some people about.
But yeah, I thought that was an interesting interesting direct mirroring.
No, I did
again,
not. I'm
going to pay even more attention. I need to go back and listen to see if they did any similar things in the first couple episodes, because I first noticed it last week, that more direct, this is Kirk and Khan. And then I was looking at it, I was like, oh my God, they both their names have four letters.
Oh, damn.
Numerology. Talk about magical thinking.
Yeah. For real. That's magical thinking.
Magical thinking.
Ha ha. Woo. I like that one because it's got one guy who's all like, ha ha.
Yeah, there's always that one guy in the crowd that's going, oh, ha 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 ha.
Anyway, I thought that was really cool to see. And again, this is an example of how I'm impressed with the way this story is unfolding. It's got a lot of layers to it, which is fun.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, duty or no duty? Do you have any duty? Did you want to do a duty or no duty, or did you want to start into the list of parts?
How much duty you got?
It's an early duty or no duty, but I'm into it.
How about you? You want to do one duty or no duty now?
Sure.
And then save another duty or no duty for later.
Jesse, I like that. You were really into that. Like, dude, what a great idea.
Savor the duty.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that later.
My lord.
Just in the event that for whatever reason our inaugural edition of WTHHIHIHTB, if that falls flat for some reason, which I don't think it will, but if it does, that
I'm
way
intrigued
we,
by
we
this...
have that other we have that other duty or no duty to help us out.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this WHTMMPQ.
WTHHIHTB
73.
WKRP.
All right.
Holograms?
Dan, give us your best duty or no duty, or one of them. Doesn't have to be the best one.
Just a duty.
Just a duty or no duty.
The computer said you were in your quarters, so I assumed you were off duty. Off duty, off duty, off duty, off duty, off duty.
That's a tough one.
I don't think it's that tough. Dan won't think this is tough because I'm leaning towards it's a duty. And I'm guessing Dan agrees with me. Because Dan always thinks it's a duty.
Can I hear one more time?
The computer said you were in your quarters, so I assumed you were off duty. Off duty, off duty, off duty, off duty.
It's hard. I think it's duty. I think it's
Lean's,
a duty.
Lean's duty.
I wonder if there's a universe that exists where you guys think it's a duty and I think it's not duty.
That's interesting.
I bet there is.
Because when you started that sentence, I thought you were going to say, I wonder if there's a unit of duty.
A unit of duty.
How many units of
or
duty?
No duty?
Units of duty are there? I have seven units of
he's
duty.
A unit.
That's a duty all the way.
I think it's hard.
I think there are two or three universes where you think it's a not duty.
That's a hard duty.
Gross.
is a hard duty from too much protein?
It's a 2-day old duty?
Is hard duty from too much protein?
It could be.
I'm gonna look that up because I forget what you, causes.
Or it could be not enough water.
You look that up, and I'm gonna play one of our duty or no duty jingles. That'll fill some time. Oops.
Whoa! What's going on?
Let's get a little breakdown here.
Word.
This gives Dan time to look up whatever he was looking up. And then there'll be like a little
really genuine. Weird. Yeah,
it's weird.
Weird. This is a new AI duty or no duty song.
That's an old AI one. It's not a good one. But I had it, you know.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I mean, yeah, AI doesn't really
Yeah, I was fun. I was right. A high protein diet can lead to hard feces.
Oh, that's what you were looking at. I couldn't even remember.
Yeah. Because if it displaces fiber-rich foods, meaning like indirectly, it's low fiber, really, I guess is more because. And you're
it's
right.
Mostly,
and if you don't drink enough fluids.
Hydration helps. Yeah. But so gotta have some
so
fiber.
That is a low fiber duty. That is.
Great. Right on. Now, we can get to this whole part where Ursula.
Turd.
Ursula starts to find Marla useful again. Right?
Yes.
We talked about this again last week, I think, when this whole Ursula Marla thing. Ursula strikes us as a very practical person, and she's cool with Marla as long as Marla was useful to her. And as soon as she wasn't, she couldn't care less, didn't give her the time of day, but now she's back to thinking she's useful. Well, and even before the whole Marla giving Khan life advice, etc., that was helpful to the whole group, and even before that she was like, oh, this Marla person, she's got some stuff.
Well, I mean, and she doesn't even try to hide it, like her disdain for Marla, because like I was bringing up last week, is like, does she not think she's useful, or is she just annoyed by her? I think it's because she finds her useless that she is annoyed by her. I think she's like, we're all living on this planet, we all need to contribute, and you don't do anything. It's not just that I don't have use for you, it's that you're worthless. Because like, she begins with like, I'm sorry for you disturbing you during your beauty sleep. Which is like, and Marla's response was great. It's like, you can like, you know, insult me or wake me up in the middle of the night, or insult me, but not both. But it seemed like, because it's an audio format, it's hard to tell who was laughing, but it felt like it felt like Ursula kind of was charmed by that.
Yeah. When Marla, I think so.
When Marla responded that way, like Ursula wasn't sold on Marla yet, but it seemed like Ursula kind of was found that. I don't know who was laughing. It could have been Ursula. It could have been Mado. It could have been Marla. But someone was laughing.
All laughing.
So. Someone was laughing when Marla made that comment, and I think it was. I want to believe.
What if it was Paulo just sitting in the corner in the dark?
Paulo
just sitting in a chair in the back. I was like, ha, ha, ha.
That was funny when he went to Marla, and he's like, hey, Marla, are you sick? And she's like, nope. He's like, okay, see you later.
But I like Paolo. He's funny.
But so I would like to believe that was Ursula chuckling, being like, ha, that was a good one. But she wasn't sold on her yet. But when Marla started getting the scans of the creatures.
Mm-hmm. That, with Paolo's dino scanner?
And that's when Ursula, she's
slowing down his voice.
Okay, you need to narrate what I'm doing. Narrate what I'm doing to everyone. So Dan's doing this now, and he's doing this. When she brings up the scan, and she says, when Marla brings up the scans of the creature, she goes,
these are excellent, actually.
This is the moment when Ursula starts to find some usage for Marla.
Exactly. That's what she looked at. And she was like, this lady has, she can do some stuff. She can draw a picture.
Right.
This lady can draw a picture of some beetle bugs.
And so she's finding use for Marla at this point, but she still doesn't quite have sympathy for her. It's the point in time when she discovers that Marla was hiding this phaser. Yeah. And at that point, I was kind of on Ursula's side when Marla, because that was such a weak defense. She's like, what's that? She shoots this thing with a phaser. Ursula's like, what is that? She's like, oh, nothing.
It's just magic.
Yeah. This old man. What? What are you talking about? But like, at that point, I was a little bit on Ursula's side, because like, Marla does have secrets, so Ursula has a right to be skeptical of her, because she's got a fucking phaser that she's keeping secret. But actually, that was the point that Ursula started to, like, before she started to have use for her, but after that phaser moment, she actually started to have sympathy for her, because that's when she realized, just like she doesn't trust Marla, Marla doesn't trust them either. So she started to actually,
and she's all alone,
unlike
Ursula,
and she started to have empathy for her. She's like, oh, like, she's kind of feeling like I do, plus she's all alone, you know, so she kind of like, she understands her perspective a little better. So that those two moments where it's like, first, respect for her usefulness, second, like sympathy/empathy, whatever, for her. I know the difference between sympathy and empathy. I'm just saying, like, a little bit of both.
Don't challenge him on that, Jesse. I think that's nicely articulated, Dan, because I hadn't even considered that.
Kill that lava.
I agree wholeheartedly now that you say that. My view of it, I was thinking more along the lines of that Ursula maybe respected her more by realizing, Marla is not dumb. Marla kind of knows how to survive. And I'm sure there was an aspect of that.
Well, there's that too.
But I think the extra layer is exactly what you're talking about, Dan. The sympathy at realizing that Marla has no family on this whole, like, we're all stuck on this planet, except the difference between us and her is we're racist against her and she's not one of us.
I mean,
or not yet.
She witnessed like someone get beat up for being like a quote half like augment. Like, you know, and she's like a total non-augment. And then she put up those
total non-augment.
And then last episode when she put up those chimes to protect herself. Now we don't know if that was officially to protect her from other people in the village or if it was to protect against animals, but it seems like it was to protect her from other people.
I think that's
so like Marla's fucking like feels like alone and probably scared and like very insecure about like the fact that she's not appreciated. And like we had also mentioned before, it's also bringing up like old, like sort of like bad feelings that she had when she was on the Enterprise, you know, about that whole
also
Kirk
felt
business.
Isolated there.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, that was, I think we made a series of truly excellent points in that.
Yeah. Golden, sir.
That's pretty
vanishingly
cool.
Small, but non-zero.
All right. So we're gonna take a break now. And then when we get back, we will have our first episode of something, whatever. Whatever it is, I don't have it. I can't see it in my notes right now. We'll play that, and then we're going to have another Duty or No Duty. We're going to talk about Diatomitous Earth. Don't think we didn't notice they talked about Diatomitous Earth.
Diatomitous Earth.
As well as a bunch of other shit.
I can't wait.
Bunch of other shit.
We will be right back.
We have endured.
And we're back.
I apologize for disturbing your beauty sleep.
Who's there?
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, we were. Oh, there was a brief interlude with Tuvok and Dr. Lear that I want to briefly talk about.
Yeah, I got back to the...
I was digging it.
Two things I want to note about that is...
Is that like, a joke on Tuvok?
No,
obviously.
No,
I apologize.
She's talking about what's the deal with, you know, going to, you know, sending him to this planet?
She's doing her Jerry Seinfeld routine.
Yeah, I know. And I was hoping
going to this planet.
It was such low hanging fruit that I thought you would have some restraint and just like let it go. But no, of course not.
Damn, dude.
she says,
it's coming. It's going to be a good point.
Tuvok says all information on the Enterprise's initial contact with Khan in the Botany Bay were stricken from official records, but included in Captain Kirk's personal logs. Actually, I can't remember if him or Lear says that. But she goes, why would he do that?
Lear
goes, why would he do that? And he says, Captain's prerogative. Mm-hmm. Now, that's kind of similar to the answer he gave before when she was talking about like how Sulu like let the shields down and the meteorites were hitting. He was basically like, and she even noted on it was like, heavy is the head that wears the crown, basically. Yeah. Like, these are two non-answers that Tuvok gave. Like, the first was like, why is he like making up this? Look at all this racket. He's like, well, you know, he's a captain. He's got a lot in his mind.
Captains are kings.
And then this one is like, well, why did he hide all this information? He's like, because this captain can do that. Like, these are not answers.
But I'm interested and a little bit confused as to exactly what they're doing, where they're going with this. And so I'm very curious to see where it ends up, this sort of side storyline of this inquiry into Captain Kirk's actions. And real quick, in part because I was confused as to what her concern was, because she said Captain Kirk made a point to include that information in his personal log. And then we heard previously that their personal logs are limited in access, right? Mm-hmm. But it also, like, one way to read that in my mind was like, oh, he made a point to add them to his personal log because he knew they were going to be classified elsewhere. So was he trying to make sure the information would be accessible in a different format? Is she complaining that he's hoarding the information? I honestly don't know what the accusation or what her assertion is. I was confused in the context. I listened to it a couple times and I wasn't 100% sure what she was weird about.
I mean, I think ultimately what they're just saying is she thinks that like, ultimately, she just thinks that he sent them there as
she's certainly implying that could be a possibility. He was like, fuck these people.
Yeah, it was a sabotage. Now, as for the details, as you mentioned, there's a little bit of confusion as to like how to parse that out. But we know the overall sort of intention. And I think it's interesting because originally it just seemed like this whole thing was like just sort of a narrative device, which it is in a way. But like, and they do bring up the idea of like, like she when Sulu's like, how dare you make those accusations at the beginning, but like I didn't realize that they were gonna really dig deep into this whole Kirk side thing. So it is interesting that they have this, I guess you could call it a B plot, but not really, because it's not part of the same like story, but like
it's an interesting structure,
but it's something, but it's like we already know how the Khan story ends. We don't know like how they get there, but we don't know how this story ends, the Kirk the Kirk story. So that is kind of interesting that's there.
What this is right after Kirk dies. What year is this supposed to be around like approximately?
100% sure.
Is it into the 23s?
It's probably into the 23s.
Early 23s, because I mean Tuvok's around, right?
Yeah. But there was,
you know, I should know this.
There's one more thing I wanted to quickly bring up. There was two old switcheroos that went on between Tuvok and
you didn't tell us that were
Lear.
Switcheroos. I asked you about the duties or no duties and all this other stuff.
There's a switcheroo. Right. I forgot to mention.
So we'll do Dan's switcheroo.
Okay.
Two switcheroos, and then we'll do our inaugural game. WTHHIHTB.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Lear says, but what if you were doing something indelicate? And Tuvok says, the odds that I would do anything inappropriate while on or off duty are vanishingly small. Then later, Tuvok says, you are asking me to advocate for you to access classified info in the absence of verifiable proof that such access is warranted. She goes, yeah. And he goes, what did you estimate your odds of success will be? To which she says, vanishingly small, but not zero. They both say that. She throws it back at
them from different angles. Totally.
And then it happens again in that same span of time.
Ah, I did not catch
Dr.
that.
Dr. Lear says, don't you find it the littlest bit invasive, maybe even creepy, that your ship's computer can tell anyone exactly where you are at all times?
She's asking the question that fans have asked for years.
Yeah, right. And Tuvok goes, I do not. And she goes, but what if you were doing something indelicate? Mm-hmm. And then later, Lear goes, why would he do that?
This is Starfleet.
Lear goes, why would he do that? Tuvok goes, captain's prerogative. Lear says, was there something in them he would have preferred others not know? Mm. And Tuvok says, something indelicate? Mm. So the first one, Lear says, vanishing.
Interesting.
So the first one, Tuvok says, vanishingly small, and then Lear throws vanishingly small back in his face. And this one, Lear says something indelicate, and Tuvok throws something delicate back in the face. They're playing some word tennis, you know?
I did not notice that.
That's
word ping-pong.
Awesome.
Yeah, but
confusing and interesting.
But I love when she accuses him. She says, you're no fun at all. And he's like, as a rule, no.
Tim
he's Vulcan.
He's fantastic.
Really are no fun at all.
He's the best.
Not as a rule. No.
He's the best Vulcan.
Yeah,
he's the best Vulcan.
Total
ever.
Vulcan.
Okay. Total
so
Vulcan.
Let's play WQP7WH.
Exactly. Right. Okay,
C-3PO.
Maybe it'll make more sense. This will be very quick, but we wanted to have an opportunity to have a little bit more engagement with our listeners. And so this is going to be a listener quiz.
Do we have any of this substance on hand?
I just had a drug.
Gotta answer the question, Patrick.
Get any weed? Orcon. Got any space weed? What was that called? Snake grass? What was it called? Snake weed?
Snake weed.
Orcon. I don't know. I think regular old
cannabis. Where did you acquire that information?
Regular old cannabis is just fine. So this is going to be for the audience. So in the very, very strange event that either of you, Jesse or Dan, can guess what's going on here. I'll explain this in a second.
What are you so afraid of?
I'll explain in a second. You guys don't guess, because this is for the audience.
I don't understand what you're afraid of, Ursula.
I'm going to explain in a second. They're gonna
Where
write,
would I stay?
They're going to write in with an answer, and then we'll talk about it next week. It'll be like one of those
no fun at all.
Like one of them ongoing things, if you know what I mean, right?
Your secret is safe with me.
Indeed, it may be safe with you. Okay, so what we are playing... sorry, I lost my notes here for a second. Okay, what we're playing... This is the
Don't ever tell me what I can't do, ever!
This is the first time we're playing a brand new game.
Called WHTTP.
It's called...
Yes.
Where the hell have I heard that before?
WTHHIHTB.
Where the hell have I heard that before?
TB. Yes.
Where the hell have I heard that before?
TB, like tuberculosis.
Like tuberculosis. That's how I remember it too.
And the mnemonic device.
What would Jesus do? That's a different one. Where the hell have I heard that before? And so
I don't have to reveal my sources.
Here's how this game works. The way this game works is I have gotten a very small clip
Oh, small clip.
Yeah, I've got a small clip.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I got a small little tiny penis.
I didn't think that.
Senti Alpha 5.
No.
It's cold. The penises are all shriveling.
L-bots. L-bots.
Not a small penis, a small clip. And this small clip has been clipped out of the Star Trek franchise. Somewhere in the Star Trek franchise, I have this small clip.
Mm-hmm.
And now what the task of the listeners is to listen to this clip and then write in to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or alternatively on social media @itsgotstartrek, Blue Sky or Facebook or whatever.
At symbol.
Send us, communicate to us the answer, and there will be no prize, but we will announce who guessed it right, or if multiple people guessed it right, then we'll
your name will be mentioned.
Pick somebody randomly,
podcast.
Or pick the person who answered it earlier. So I don't know.
I will consider your request.
So we welcome any and all guesses, and please send in a guess, even if you're not sure.
Even if you're wrong.
Even if you just want to try it out, you never know. It might be fun because you don't want to miss out participating in the inaugural edition of Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? That's not the same voice I did earlier because I can't remember.
Did I do that?
Did I do that? Okay, Dad. Dad.
Hey,
Dad. Hey, Dad. Where?
Okay.
Who were all
Why
those guys?
Was I not born an insect?
Oh, man, this is ridiculous. King of the Hill. All right, let me play the clip. I'll play the clip a couple of times. You guys don't guess. This is for the listeners, all right?
Don't ever tell me what I can't do, ever!
Shit.
All right.
Welcome. I've been expecting you.
No guesses.
Did Jesse, don't even try to guess the series or anything.
I wasn't going to guess anything. I'm keeping my mouth.
Okay, I'm just saying sometimes you...
Ideally, people will get the series and the episode and the specifics of this clip. However, if you can just get the series, if you can get take a guess. You get as close as you can to tell us what's going on in this clip.
I'm not supposed to take a guess.
I'm going
to
play it. I'm going to play it one more time. Here you go.
Welcome. I've been expecting you.
Do you remember, was it last week that Jesse from Crusher Convo asked us to, was it the week last week or the week before she asked us to pick our favorite first season TNG episode? And you first season TNG, yes. And you thought it was just any TOS
Jesse.
Episode.
Jesse thought that.
Yeah. I thought Patrick had said before that we had started that it was going to be like pick your favorite TOS episode.
But it wasn't, it was the wrong series.
It was completely wrong.
It was the wrong series and it was the wrong scope because it was like TNG and it was just the first season, not all seasons.
Because then I was like, oh, it's TNG, and then I had to come up with something. So and then it was like, no, it's first season. I was like, oh, my God.
So that's just crazy.
You guys are goofy.
I should not be on the podcast.
Don't say things like that, Jesse. Don't say that. Don't say that, Jesse.
Come on, you little monster.
Yes. Good segue, Dan. Good segue, because we have to talk
back to the podcast.
We have to talk about.
Do you know what that sound is, Highness? Those are the shrieking eels.
Because that's what we dealt with today, because Marla got on her entomology hat or whatever you call it. I don't know what's appropriate in this case, and figured out that there would be some sort of like queen business.
Right.
And that changed their whole strategy. So it turned into like a Starship Troopers style bug hunt.
Yeah.
And the audio went crazy.
Yeah, it did.
And then there was this, I don't know if you must have, I'm sure you have clips from this crazy fight, but there was this crazy fight that was both awesome and hilarious.
So, yeah.
Because I was buying into it, but if you listen to it a little bit away from the speakers, it sounds like it's a comedy sketch where you don't get to see what's happening. They're like, oh my God, so big. Oh God, the eel. Oh my God, it jumped out of my face. Oh my God.
Why is it going running towards me? Oh no, it killed. My favorite is at the beginning.
Fire in the hole.
Like, he's going, fire in the hole. Ha ha ha. You know, and then like, For some reason, they have, like, guns. I didn't know they could have guns down there, because they were talking about bullets. They have bullets.
Yeah, they may, because they don't have phasers, right? That's
But how did they build guns?
I think they might have had some, maybe, from their ship, because they had equipment from their ship.
They're super.
I guess they had
Kirk let them have stuff.
Well, I
from
guess
their
ship might have already had their guns.
Probably.
But then it was
an American ship.
But it was funny because you could tell what was going on, but it was still confusing because you hear all these bullets, all this shit, and suddenly you hear the phaser going off. And I'm like, wait, what? And then after it was like, oh, Marla's here. That makes sense in retrospect. Yeah. Right. But for me, at first, it was just, and it does make sense. It's like, that's the cue that something that Marla was there, because they had told us earlier in the episode that she had a phaser and that was a phaser noise, but I was still just kind of so confused by all the cacophony of noises that phaser confusing. Blast, like, it was just too much for me to process.
It would have been more impressive if it was like, if you could see it, because you would have been able to see this phaser like cutting through visually.
And that's why the phaser just threw me off among all these other noises, that my brain wasn't allowing me to make that connection immediately, because I was just so confused. But yeah, so I guess they killed the queen thing, and
seems like it. And I wasn't sure if they were gonna kill it so quickly. Okay, but first of all, I understand clearly, but this is not the end of that story.
Yeah, obviously it's not. So we wonder, was Ursula wrong about the queen thing, or is there a super queen, or what?
Because other colonies.
They were also setting up another little mirroring, except this time it was current or contemporary con.
Temporary. Contemporary chicken with French fries.
Contemporary.
Mirroring future con, because Khan goes a little Ahab on this queen all of a sudden. Once he hears about the queen, once he decides there's a single enemy, and the enemy has an army, but if he can decapitate the head of the thing,
this town needs an enema.
Then he gets all like super Ahab, which is, again, that's a kind of, you know, Moby Dick Ahab, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and Patrick, then that's like a Star Trek 2 thing.
Patrick, you were, the other day, you were so super Ahab.
Yeah, I was doing.
What other Ahabs are there? Yeah, well, there's nobody else named Ahab.
There's Ahab. There's other Ahabs, aren't there? Isn't there like Ahab? Ahab,
there's
Maroney.
Abraham.
There's Abraham.
There's Abraham.
Ubrahim.
Yeah. Is Ahab some kind of?
I don't know. Ubradin.
Starbuck.
Incidentally, it looks like we're probably not going to get to my list of parts.
No,
which is
fine. Do your list. Let's do some of the list of parts.
Okay,
get them parts.
We can do that right now.
I mean, we don't
it's
have
time to
do
take
it.
Out your
I think
parts.
We made all the other, like, you know, we talked about the this and the that and the things, and you know, we can go through the parts. If we don't make it all the way, that's okay.
That's fine. Okay,
we can cut it off.
Well, we talked about this part. The episode begins with Khan thinking about all the bullshit that's going on.
Yeah.
Ivan wants to help, and then Khan's trying to do it himself. And then like we said, Khan's trying to like talking about how he wants to, nobody but Ivan knows about like the Richter situation. I don't think Ursula even knows,
but
I'm not sure. They're going to tell everyone that Sylvana was infected or something instead of that she's dead, I think is what they were saying. He feels guilty for killing Richter, even though it was necessary. And he feels guilty about lying to his people, but he feels like he has to. Mm-hmm. And then Ivan like assures him that he's with him no matter what. And then Ivan reassures him that he's an okay dude. And then it ends with Khan accepting Ivan's help. So he wants to do everything himself, but now at this point is when he accepts Ivan's help. And Ivan's like, I already have a shovel. You know, for once I planned ahead. So that's good.
Khan makes a lot of progress this episode with Ivan, with Marlo.
Yeah. And then number two, the second scene is Ursula's studying Richter. He died from spinal cord fractures. A bunch of bullshit happened to him. And then Madeau shows up with Marla. He's got spinal cord injuries and a bunch of other bullshit. Madeau shows up with Marla, and Ursula is immediately rude with the, you know, beauty sleep comment. And Marla's like, fuck you. And then Ursula seems charmed by Marla being like, fuck you. And then Marla shows her the larva, and then Ursula's impressed.
Larva.
Like, Marla larva. Marla larva. Marla larva.
Marla larva.
Marla.
Marla McLarvas.
But then Marla asks if Sylvana knows, and Ursula won't reveal the secret that Sylvana's dead. And Madeau's like, what the fuck? And then Madeau has been saying what everyone keeps saying. He's like, that's Khan's woman. This is the theme. This is like, and which is funny at the end, because Marla at the end is like, I'm so sick of this Khan's woman shit, but it's okay. At the end, she's like, I've accepted this Khan's woman shit.
And she kind of likes it.
But she also says, even though it's offensive, I've kind of accepted it. She's still like, it's offensive, but I get it. That's their way or whatever. Anyways, so And then Marla's like, what's your deal, Ursula? I'm cool. You can tell me. And Ursula's like, I don't trust you. And you're only loyal because you have to be. And then Marla goes, okay, I'll show you I'm cool. I'll go get these SETI eels. And then Ursula goes after her because it's dangerous, yeah. You know. And then the part three is Ursula followed Marla out. And Ursula's trying to make sure she doesn't get herself killed. They can only do this at night. Marla's like, I don't need you. And then, but the scanner kind of sucks. Yeah. So Ursula knows what to do.
Ursula's like, hey, yeah. we got Paolo, who's Paolo. good at this sort of shit.
Yeah, scene four, they go to see Paolo. He's got the scanning goods, the dino scanner, and then they see like a million things, and they see dozens of SETI eels.
Dynamite.
He did like the whole Good Times thing.
Yeah, most of them are too deep, so they have to wait for some to come up. Marla zaps it with the phaser. Ursula's like, what's that? And she's like, oh, it's nothing. And then Marla's, and when Ursula's like, so that's why you needed my help. And then at first, Marla was trying to hide the fact that it was a phaser, you know, it's silly. But then Marla's like, you can't tell Khan. And Ursula agrees to keep the secret. And then that's when Ursula starts to feel sorry for Marla and stuff.
And we learn later that she did, in fact, keep the secret.
Yeah, she did, which Marla was surprised by, and I'm assuming also impressed and pleased by. And then she, Ursula, after this is what causes her to reveal the secret about Sylvana, because she starts to feel the sympathy. This is what causes her to be like, okay, Sylvana's dead, Khan killed Richter, and Marla's like...
Richter beat the shit out of Sylvana until she died, and then Khan broke Richter's neck,
right.
And then he's being all weird about it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You gotta go talk to him, because he's being super weird about it.
Yeah, so Marla's like, thanks, dude. And Ursula's like, no problem. And then Ursula's coming around. And so now we're at scene five. After Marla got the monster from the eel, the worm. Okay, so this whole thing, this arthropod thing, it's like the arthropods go out and they plant the larva in the SETI eels. But apparently, I think they plant them in other things, too.
I think you're conflating things. The SETI eels are like the little squiggly things that go into the ear.
No. Yeah. No, they hide under the scales of the SETI eels.
No, I don't think
so. Yeah, the larvae are hide, because they were talking about extracting...
It's all one and the same. Babies and the... the adults, adult SETI eel, the female SETI eels come out and they got all the larvae, and the larvae slurm off and climb into things. And the females go back and make more larvae.
So what they say is the Mado says, I think it was Mado or Ursula, I can't remember, who says they come out of the joints of the exoskeleton, the larva does, which is the exoskeleton of the
SETI
of the adults.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You just said SETI eel, and that's not the SETI eel. The SETI eel's not the adult.
Yeah, the SETI eel is what we're talking about. The SETI eel is the thing that we're the center of the story.
It plants the thing in the SETI eel.
No.
Yes.
I don't agree with
that. I'm pretty sure. They said they're specifically under the scales of the SETI eels. They come out of the joints of the arthropod, and they come and they live under the scales of the SETI eels. These were things that were set.
These are not separate things. These are the SETI eel is... Don't worry about it.
A SETI eel cannot have scales and an exoskeleton.
Yes. Well, okay.
An eel doesn't have an exoskeleton.
Then I've totally misunderstood this. But we have a good audience out there who is going to write us... All of you are going to write us in at feedback at StarTrek.com with a correct them up or a set us straight, and you let us know how you've interpreted.
Right. We can't get too in the weeds on this.
Can't get too in the weeds.
Okay. Anyways. We agree on that. Marla goes, I'm looking for.
I'm sorry. No. You're not doing anything wrong. Everything's totally right.
Ivan's like, they're everywhere, and Khan's like, we need to defend ourselves, and Mado talks about, like, how it works. Oh, she talks about the spermulacrum or something.
Diatomitous earth.
Yeah, which basically shreds them to bits.
It's a good anti-bug thing, but has all the disadvantages that she described. I've used it to get the fucking ants out of my goddamn car charger.
Yeah.
Because they like it.
That's right.
Is that borax?
That's the first time I heard about it.
No, it's not borax. It's diatomitous earth. It's powder, but at a bug scale, it's, as she described, it's basically like razor blades for exoskeletons.
I thought that's what borax kind of was, but I could be
maybe
wrong.
Maybe, but this is a different thing. This is made of crushed shells, basically.
It'll shred the creature shells, rip up their joints, and kill their larva.
Kill their larva. Yeah.
So, that's
intense.
Yeah, and Khan's basically like, kill this shit. And Mado's in charge of shell collection and shit. And then he's like, Marla, follow me. And then number scene six, they're walking together. And he doesn't like that she put herself at risk. We talk about this.
And also, Marla keeps accusing Khan of being afraid. She's done it before.
Yeah.
Like being afraid to be in love or whatever. And here she's like being afraid. And he doesn't deny it. Mm-hmm. And he pretty much admits it in this episode that because he just responds to her saying like, well, I've got to take care of all these people.
Yeah,
he's,
right.
He's afraid that he can't. That's another really interesting little insertion of this insecurity in Khan that despite him being a super arrogant, thinks he's an actual god pretty much, mm-hmm. he still has this human insecurity.
Which leads to him wanting to not tell people about shit because it's not, he can't control their reaction and he's afraid it's going to be a bad one. So he's like really insecure about that, which is why he doesn't have any faith in letting them make their own decisions on these things. He feels like he feels a lot of pressure. Yeah. So it's understandable that he's insecure and wants to control everything. Because he feels like it's all on him, just because they're looking up, they call him my lord and shit.
That's intense.
Know. Yeah, right.
He's probably thinking, he's like, you know what, maybe thinking back, maybe we should come up with a different term.
So this is where Marla tells, where he's like, forget about dead people, they're stupid and let's move on. And she's like, no, but like, yeah, they're dead. We don't have to pretend they're going to heaven or anything, but like there's people that are alive that are sad and need to process this shit. And he's like, no, that's stupid. They'll get mad and they'll revolt and everything will fall apart and we don't want that. And she's like, no, you're stupid. And then he's like, yeah, you're probably right, actually. And so she's like, you gotta grieve, dude. And he's like, okay. And you know, and she's like, like you said, she keeps accusing him of being scared. And he's like, well, I'm scared because this is all on me, and like, and then everything's gonna fall apart and I can't do this. And she's like, no, it's cool, don't worry about it. And so like yeah, grief is a necessary step to acceptance, and you can't deny the human nature.
Right on.
And he goes and gives a great speech.
And he does. And he wants everyone to stay in denial at first, which is a silly oversight, but it is, like we said, insecurity. So he's hesitant to deal with it because he's afraid it nurtures it. And she's like, no, it's that you can't get rid of it. It's there. Lead him through it. And then he takes her advice. And I think the proper word she uses is like, you lead them through it. And that sort of pressed the right buttons for him. He's like, yes, I'll lead them through it. You know?
Yeah, he understood
that.
He's good at manipulating him.
Yeah, she is, you know. And he likes that idea. Seven is the community meeting. They talk about all the things they need to do, like get the doctor does this, supplies there, build a camp, like know. But then he does the speech with the grieving, and mm-hmm. he like brings Erica up and he's like, Sylvana and Richter were cool, that sucks for you. And she
turns it into a pep talk, actually. Like turns the fear of revealing their deaths into a mechanism, kind of like I was saying earlier, like what he should have done in the first place, being like, it's good for people to know that there's some crazy shit they have to, there's a challenge they have to overcome. Mm-hmm. They're super geniuses. Wouldn't they be into like solving this challenge?
Yeah. And he addresses the crowd about like all the cool people have died. Hugo is noticeably absent from this discussion.
Everyone thought Hugo was kind of a fucking asshole.
But then they play, right before they start chanting Khan, they play the Avengers music.
So that we may continue to live and prosper without fear. I see your willingness to rise to this challenge in every pair of eyes. Let me hear it in your voices.
Khan!
To me, that sounded like it was straight from the Avengers.
You're right. It wasn't straight, but it was very fucking close. That was very fucking close. I did not notice that.
Yeah, it's a superhero. It's coming to save the day. Yeah, coming back from defeat or whatever. Yeah. Portal buddies.
That's the name of the song that everyone likes. Not the song, you know, the instrumentation on the album. It's called Portals
on the soundtrack.
On the soundtrack.
On the score.
Is that Alan Silvestri who did that one?
I have no idea.
I get confused with some of the Marvel ones because Marvel uses so many composers.
So many. Eight, the next day they're building, getting ready. It's super inspiring. Marla leaves a log stating about like, everything's great now. People like me and I'm invited over and I feel like I'm a cool dude.
Hey, Jesse, Dan was able to do that without making a poop joke.
Totally.
Oh, log.
Because
you
said Marla left a log.
She left a log.
I was like, how the fuck did Dan say that without making without even giggling?
She left a big log.
Yeah.
They are technically camping.
A verbose log. I hate when I leave her boast logs.
Upsetting imagery.
So she even gets to join the fire. So she's losing her insecurity and she doesn't mind being seen as Khan's woman, even though she thought she would. And she still is like, Khan's woman's like kind of silly and offensive, but whatever. We're meeting people. They're all meeting each other halfway now, which is in the middle, which is good.
Combat.
And that's how you get shit done. Staunch opposition just encourages people to do the same, moving each other further apart. But then you meet in the middle, like it kind of, you don't get fully what you want, but like least you're not like trying to kill each other.
That's right, bro.
Like that Rolling Stones song.
Mama was a Rolling Stone.
No, though, you can't always get you what you want. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you get what you need.
Yeah, kind of like that, sort of. And but like, and this is where, as she's talking, it fades, and now it's into the recording quality, and we have the whole Lear Tuvok scene mm-hmm. that we just sort of discussed mm-hmm. about, like the Kirk thing, and mm-hmm. and this, there's some intrigue there. Mm-hmm. That's 9:10. Marla, this is day 119. She makes the comment, which is interesting. It's like, tyrants lead out of fear traditionally, mm-hmm. but people like love this dude like he's their dad, you know. So that's an interesting point where Khan has always thought of this tyrant, this dictator,
mm, yeah.
but these people love him. So like, yeah. do his actions really matter if the people love him? Like, that's really the key point, is as long as people love what he's doing and no one's unhappy with it, is that okay?
Just a nuanced thing, because I do totally agree with you, but it is important to point out that Khan's current situation is he is leading his fellow genetically engineered people here
right.
on Earth. He and those people together were ruling over
yes, okay.
all the normies.
No, that's right. a good point. And I don't,
for a particular region of the Earth.
Yeah. And we shan't forget that part.
Shan't.
But currently, in this current situation,
current.
If that bled over into normies at the normies. Future, who knows? But like saying, like, it seems like that would, they got a good thing going.
What's
on
the last
right
one?
Now.
Is it marriage, pregnant? They get pregnant and then married.
Yeah, they get.
That's the two next things, right? She's like, I'm pregnant. He's like, shit. And he's like, let's pregnant. Get fucking married. And then that's yeah, the ceremony. We get okay. boom. We get married.
Right. She's worried about the relationship making vulnerable. She's pregnant. Mm. Paolo brings the shit in. I just want to mention that when Paolo brought in the creature, Ursula, she was really short with Paolo. You remember that? She's like, she was like,
well,
he yeah. was like, he was like, he came in with the shit, and he's like, hey, I got some stuff, and she's like, great, Paolo, put it there. And get back
he's
to
an
work.
Annoying little guy.
But I mean, he brought her shit, you know? And then she responds with, great, thanks, go back to work now. You know, like, she couldn't even be like, thank you.
I don't blame her.
I mean, he just...
I would have to go back and listen to see how yeah. how I could characterize her response.
Well, okay, I know...
Not that I don't believe you. I would want to form my own judgment.
I know we're up against it, but I'm just saying that, like, Paolo wasn't even, like, hanging out being like, so, boobity-boo. She was like, he was like, here you go. She's like, get back to work! You know, she didn't even get a second to be like, boo, 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 you know?
You've now recounted... Dan, I'll point out that you've recounted her response now, I believe, three times. And the first time, you were like, he was short with her, and she was like, and the second time, you're like, nah, nah, nah. And just now, you're like,
yeah, I'm just trying to get you to understand how unreasonable I thought she was being.
I'm gonna pull that quote,
and you pointed it out. Okay,
all right.
So okay, they find that they realize the queen situation because of like the whole thing. They you know, Marla's like, Khan, you shouldn't go out and fight these things, and he does do it, and they're in trouble, and Marla saves the day, and then they go out, and then they kill the queen. It's big. They have guns and bullets, and then back at the ranch, this is the end. Marla's shocked that Ursula didn't reveal her secret, and she's like, Starfleet. She blames the Prime Directive for the fact that she's keeping secrets, which I think is shady. But and then she tells Khan that she's
Marla
pregnant.
McShady.
She tells Khan she's pregnant. And Khan's like, you didn't tell me. And she's like, I was gonna. And he's like, okay, well, let's get married. And she's like, cool.
And then, like, she would tell people, like, nah, I don't wanna.
And then Ursula's like, you sure you want to marry this Marla girl? Like, at the fucking ceremony, she's marrying them, and she's like, you sure you want to do this, Khan?
And they're playing some goofy ass music too, because they don't have proper wedding music.
Yeah.
Like, now I don't have a judgment on what proper wedding music is, because you know, it's whatever.
Is it a doctor's job to marry people in absence of a legal representative?
I don't know.
Sometimes
they don't have a cruise ship captain. So.
They don't have a lawyer or something.
That's what I just legal representative.
Exactly. Yeah.
A jag evidence. Jag officer.
Jag officer.
Anyway, well, thank you for that.
We're dangerous.
Summation, Dan. That was good.
I could hear you rushing me at the end. You were like, okay, yeah, next is the pregnant. Okay, good, we're done now.
But in a comical way. In a
lighthearted, fun, loving,
it's got
friendly, cute way. Everybody knows we're going to hug later. We're going to hug and caress.
Well, if everybody didn't know, then they know now.
Jesse, don't. The only thing that's more annoying than that is the kitty cat noise. The kitty cat noise is better than that. That's more annoying than the kitty cat noise.
What about the whine voice?
Hey, the whine voice. I got kitty cat whines. I got whines from the cat.
See, Dan's tricked me into going long again because he knows that I'm a sucker for doing my kitty cat voice.
You are a sucker.
Sometimes
it's okay.
Kitty cats
the three of us, the three of us can hug and caress after the podcast. Only if Patrick stops that.
I'm sorry. All right, so it's got StarTrek.com and at It's Got
Star
Trek.
And he can tell her if he chooses to.
At It's Got Star Trek and Patreon.com/It's Got Star Trek. We promise to put some more stuff up there soon. And YouTube, please subscribe to us on YouTube because it does.
Oh, wait.
It does do things. Oh, there was another duty or no duty.
The odds that I would do anything inappropriate while on or off duty are vanishingly small. Duty, 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 duty.
You know, again, yeah, I think it's a duty, and yeah. Tuvok does not normally do duty.
No, that's exactly. what surprised me.
This is the only, like, Tim Russ is doing a great job.
Young Tuvok.
Old Tim Russ old is doing Tim a good Russ? Job of doing young Tuvok, except Tuvok. This may be, I don't know what the...
it's
an anomaly.
Patrick is doing some kind of, like, my precious with his fingers.
It's a duty anomaly.
He's like twiddling his fingers and thumbs together, like,
anomalous duty.
Delicious little people I will eat.
This is where perhaps the voice is breaking down a little bit. I don't know the right way to say it because it's the end of the episode.
Normally Tuvok is good about his duties.
That's something that's not carried over.
Yeah, I say duty.
He's being a little lazy with the duty.
Yeah.
I think it's a duty.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Feedback at discussstartrek.com.
General consensus.
With that, we'll say goodbye.
The other one
that's
was
all
a
I
duty
need from you
well.
For now.
Wait, what? Jesus. Well, okay.
I'll retract the goodbye.
What was that, Jesse?
Okay, Jesse.
We all agreed on the previous duty.
Yeah, so. We did. Okay.
So that was good. Everyone agrees?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
That's all I need from you for now.
That is enough.
How was that guy?
The computer said you were in your quarters, so I assumed you were off duty. Don't you find it the littlest bit invasive, maybe even creepy, that your ship's computer can tell anyone exactly where you are at all times?
I do not.
But what if you were doing something indelicate?
The odds that I would do anything inappropriate while on or off duty are vanishingly small. The odds that I might be in danger, however, are significantly higher, in which case the location ID function could save my life.
You really are no fun at all.
Not as a rule, no.
Nerd alert!